and take it away.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Hortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City at the Bright Red Desk. And the British lady was late tonight. Mercury retrograde in the shadow. Mercury entering the shadow. And I am joined by my wonderful comrade out there in the wilds of the West. Heather, you out there?
Yep. This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Ronan, Montana. See how many R's you can get into that name. And, yes, and this is Access Astrology. And we love sharing our astrology with you,
yes,
what we see
yes,
going on in the world.
And there's a lot going on in the world, as you may have noticed. There's some wild energies up there in the sky. The British lady was late for the first time that I've ever known her, which is like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, 12 years at this point. So anyway, what we're going to do is talk about what's going on above us so you guys can figure out how to work with it. And then we'll take some calls from our listeners. So what we have this week, of course, is Mars squaring Pluto, Mars opposing Pluto, rather, as Mercury and Mars meet up in the sky. And then Mercury is entering his shadow, preparing to go retrograde in a couple of weeks. So this means you should all pay attention to what comes down the pike vis-a-vis news in the next couple of days, because this is the story of the retrograde. And then at the end of the week, we have Neptune stationing to go retrograde for the summer until Scorpio time. And Neptune, of course, is illusion and delusion, and the blog talk lady was out for a drink, I guess. And so that's been happening. That's this week. So that's why maybe you've been feeling a little spacey or a little tired or a little emotional, crying, because Jupiter also squared Neptune, which happens 3 times this year, but doesn't happen but once every 12 or 13 years. So we got a lot going on in the heavens. And then this weekend, on Friday rather, we have the sun going into Cancer, which is the summer ingress beginning in the Northern Hemisphere. And for our winter folk, for our southern listeners, the people down in the below the equator, it's their winter beginning. And that's a biggie. And then we also have, I don't know if you looked at the ingress, Heather, but we have 49
mm-hmm.
parallels
mm-hmm.
and contraparallels. I have
my
never
goodness.
Seen so many in my 25
mm-hmm.
years of being an astrologer. I was like, oh, my God, when I pulled the chart for the ingress, I was like, I've never seen
mm-hmm.
so many parallels or contraparallels in my entire life.
Would you define
what
the parallel
those are,
and contraparallel? Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, what those are
mm-hmm.
is the planets are all lined up. And so what happens is, you know, we know they're in the zodiac degree. We know they're having a fight in the sky. You know, they're opposite each other, one on one end of the other, one on the other. But because the planets are all on the same declination, which is the same degree of latitude, meaning they're all up there at 22, 23 Cancer, which is the highest sun goes, and then they're all at the bottom at 23 Capricorn, which is the lowest the sun goes. They're all, like, all on the same degree, which means it kind of, it's almost like a giant game of billiards, you know, where you hit the ball, and the ball
mm-hmm.
hits the ball, and the ball hits the ball, and they're all, like, lined up in a row. You know, so when
right.
you ever seen those pool games where they hit the thing and all the balls go in the pocket, that's kind of the energy. So they're all related
right.
and talking to each other by altitude above and latitude above, latitude above and below the equator, and by zodiacal degree, fighting in the sky. So it amplifies the fighting energy. So you've been feeling in the mood to fight. You've been feeling the mood to be a little more aggressive. You've been feeling a little bit like, or, you know, like you're just jazzed up, ready to take action. Nothing's going to stop you now. That all is what this energy is about. And, of course, because Mercury is in Cancer right now, he is ruling the Sun and Venus, who are in Gemini. So he is making them feel very Cancerian. And then, of course, Mercury and Mars and the node of fate are in Cancer. So every 2.5 days, as the moon changes signs, we get a whole new dose of emotion. So right
mm-hmm.
now it's in Capricorn, which was a little bit of a tough couple days for folks. Tonight at 10 o'clock at East Coast time, 10:09, I think it goes into Aquarius. So we all get very detached for the next couple days. And then the weekend we're a soggy little mess because the moon
soggy
goes into
mess.
Pisces. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
or deeply sensitive, poetic side. You know, we can do the
mm-hmm.
higher form too. So, what do you think,
mm-hmm.
Heather? What do you? How would you explain
yeah,
this to the
sun,
world?
Yeah, the sun goes into Cancer,
yeah.
the moon goes into Pisces, and we go into emotion.
Yeah.
But it is
yeah.
interesting that the moon has been conjunct Pluto with Saturn and the south node in Capricorn on one side and the north node Mars and Mercury conjunction in Cancer on the other. Now, one of the things that I saw with that Mercury-Mars conjunction, the three people that I know with epilepsy had to be hospitalized last week because their brains were so stormy that they were having electrical bursts. And, you know, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to have it, but that, you know, we feel that neurological storm going off. And I certainly see that in the headlines with all the sabers rattling and the, you know, preposterous comments being made. And it's interesting that Trump, you know, announced his election, re-election campaign right in the middle of that Mars, Mercury-Mars conjunct opposed Pluto, because it sort of defines the characteristics. Now, there's an eclipse coming up in a few weeks, and that eclipse will be only seen from the southern hemisphere. But I look back to the last eclipse that really quartered our country. It, you know, it was visible in a stripe through the middle of the from east to west, and then it, you know, if you drew a line for where it was exact, it bisected the country north and south. And we've been so split since that summer in August 2017. Now, there's a possibility that this one can begin to help us recoalesce, but it has been, you know, it's sitting right there dancing on some of those old points. So I'm asking people to notice when they get a little feisty or when they get upset with themselves, because with that lineup, one of the things I'm seeing is people be so hard on themselves once they start going. But if we've got the energy to put into a project or to get excited about something we're doing, it can, you know, roll forth in a beautiful way. It's just we have to notice when that charge goes or when we're feeling a little irritated with ourselves, how do we use this wisely?
And it can be a little hard sometimes because we're, you know, we're really feeling, you know, everybody's really feeling the emotions. So I had somebody call me today and they were like, oh, my God, you know, and, you know, and I, you know, and the other thing we find with cancer, sometimes it can be a little whiny. And, you know, she's like, I'm sorry to be whiny, but, you know, I'm really, and I kind of said, well, you know, think about this, think about that, think about this. And then she went, oh, okay, that feels better. You know, so it's totally cool to feel whiny or a little sorry for yourself because these planets do kind of make you feel a little extra emotional. And sometimes what we're having, of course, with all the Gemini stuff in the sky is mirroring. And Gemini is the sign of the twins. So when you stand and look in your mirror, like today I went and got my hair cut, right? And she always, I mean, I've been going to her for years. She always puts the part on the wrong side. So she blows it out. It looks fabulous. And I put my hands through it and move the part to the other side. She goes, oh, did I do the part on the wrong side? I'm like, yeah, but that's okay. You know, like, you know, she blows it so it doesn't really matter. But but it is mirroring. So when people say something to you, they go, you know, you always blah, 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 blah. That is their issue, right?
Right.
Now, it might hit yours because you have them in your room to talk to you about your issues. But if someone's talking to you about stuff and you go, that's not my issue, that's your issue, what you want to do is think about two things. One, what you brought it in for. Why are you getting that message? And then two, you want to kind of say, I think that might be your issue in a very nice way. Because people with the Gemini, the duality of the Gemini, it's like when you're looking in the mirror and, you know, you look back at yourself and then when you look at a photograph of yourself, it looks different because it's like another way. You know, so that reflection energy, the duality of Gemini, the Sun and Venus are in Gemini this week. And so they are really kind of reflecting back to us what we need to pay attention to and work on, as well as all this high emotion. So just, you know, be extra nice to folks. They're all feeling a little sensitive. I had a mom write, you know, her daughter had to make a decision about college and was crying on the couch and, you know, the school she wanted to go versus the school that everybody was saying, well, you know, that school's really good. You should go there. And I said to her mother, this is like a core issue for her. You know, she has a bunch of Gemini. She's always going to have people tell her not to follow her heart. She knows where she wants to go. She should go there, you know, and, and that's, you know, just encourage her. But everybody's always going to give her an opinion, which affects her very strongly. You know, I'm making a decision. I'm going to ruin my life. You know, if I go to the wrong school, what if I choose? You know, and I'm like, go to the one where you're, you know, the one that she wants to go to is the one her Venus line goes through, right? So go to the Venus line school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
honoring it and really affirming the energy is important. You know, affirming the energy of change, affirming the energy of letting go. And maybe you're feeling like it's time to leave. And I have to say, I thought it was pretty instructive that Gloria Vanderbilt died. She of the Neptune, right? We have this lovely Jupiter-Neptune square, and we have Neptune stationing. And she was an artist and a creative and believed in love and had many, many affairs with people and had this kind of wild life, 95, as an artist and a creator and a producer, and four husbands, and, you know, painted and designed jeans. I mean, did you have a pair of Gloria Vanderbilt jeans when you were growing up, Heather? I know I did.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Still do,
she made
I think.
Women wear jeans for the first time. You know.
Well,
so.
That was my first girly jeans. I had plenty of jeans before that. But
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, because they really showed, they were cut for men before, and she did them for a girl body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she giggled with her son. That was a wonderful scene of her and Anderson having the same exact giggle a week before she dies.
A week
May I be
she
giggling
dies.
In my bed the week before I die?
Right, 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 right. And then have my son realize, I got my giggle from my mother.
And
you know?
She was born on an eclipse. She was born zero Virgo.
Yes,
and her whole life, you know, the efforts to eclipse her, the difficulties that went with her, and the need for her to develop a public face and to keep it a private life was a powerful journey that she's been working through.
Yes.
And I want to say that it's interesting that it's not only that the Jupiter-Neptune square, but that's a T-square with Venus, as Venus is moving into that corner, and it felt like her role as this, you know, international fashion icon was very strong. And a lot of us, you know, it's a good week to bring out that creative side of ourselves, to bring out our art supplies and to notice the aesthetics. And with all these planets in Cancer and the sun going into Cancer this weekend, you know, tend the home front. It's, you know, do household projects. It's, you know, it's not just, you know, make your house look pretty. It's when our houses feel centered, then we can be more generous with our time to make our country, our national home or our community home and then our national home more comfortable.
Yeah.
With that lineup in Cancer, the whole question about what is patriotism is going to be intense this 4th of July. And that, you know, is it America first or is it America as a leadership ideal for the world?
Right.
And it's going to be strong. Out here in the West, one of the Jupiter-Neptune squares that we're noticing so strongly is that this has been the wettest spring on record here, you know, which means, you know, a lower fire season. Woohoo! We're happy with that. But in the just inland, you know, there are many. This was the last week that they could get their crops in, and for the farmers whose fields are not dry yet, this year is going to be a total loss for them.
Oh,
and
really?
And they have never seen a wetter year.
Wow.
And never seen a wetter year. And most of them have flood insurance, but it doesn't cover everything. And the country's taking such a hit anyway with the tariffs that this is going to be, you know, that Jupiter-Neptune, too much Neptune. And water rights and questions of water are so strong. How can we liberate water? How we can love our water and put it in good places while the world is going through such a change in a short period of time,
right?
Ecologically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, should we take a caller? We had someone online, but let's take a caller first, and I'll see if I can find that.
Okay, find the email.
Ahead.
All right, let me hit. Hi, 808, you're on the air. Can we help? 808-345.
Hi, Anne, it's Dandelion. I have a question
about
my chart.
Okay, what's your birth data?
Okay, so 5/19/77, 6:41 p.m., Jackson, Tennessee.
Jackson, where?
6:41 p.m.
Jackson, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And what's your question?
I'm really looking at, so Anne, and hi, thank you everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding my Saturn, I've really been looking at my Saturn, and so I'd love any insight you have regarding the Saturn-Pluto, but especially my particular Saturn. I'm
mm-hmm.
also really curious if there was anything else that jumped out at you.
Anne, you want to run with that? I mean, because what I'm seeing at the
end. I'm not quite with this. I'm still looking for the city on that one.
Jackson, Tennessee?
Jackson, Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kept hearing Jackson, D.C., and I'm like, I don't know that city. Okay. So you go first, and
so,
I'll be right there.
May 19th, 1977, 6:41 p.m. in Jackson, Tennessee. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes? Wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So
mm-hmm.
your own Saturn is not being hammered at the moment. Uranus will be coming to square your Saturn, but the Saturn-Pluto conjunction that the world is dealing with is going through your third house, but it's been squaring your nodes, your north node in Libra, your south node in Aries, and it is, and Pluto is pulling away from, but Saturn's coming back to square your Mars and your Venus. So they've had like a huge, you know, no matter what age you were, if you were 7 or 70, I'd say you'd be going through a growing up phase, like a maturation effort, and you've been bench pressing responsibilities. And, you know, you're a Taurus, Moon, and Gemini, with Venus and Mars in Aries. And Venus and Mars in Aries, you know, want that intensity and they want excitement and they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. But your Mercury and Sun in Taurus want safety and security and concrete connections. And your Venus and Mars have progressed into Taurus. So they're getting trined by the same aspects that are squaring your natal. So there's a lot going on in a short period of time. But it looks like you know, you're being torn between what you want to do and what you think you have to do.
Right.
Is there something going on around your work and, you know, can you get it to align with your passions?
Well, yes, but mm-hmm. you are right in the context of, for example, I am a water protector. And we
Wonderful.
Have a lot of things happening, but also I
mm-hmm.
want to travel and study. My
mm-hmm.
Sagittarius and my Jupiter is extremely activated, so
mm-hmm.
I want to move to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I also recognize, you know, I do have work.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you do your work in Italy?
It's a really important. Yeah, I was going to say it's mm-hmm. a really important time for you because for a couple of reasons. One. You know, when you say Saturn, what you're really feeling is you're being told, be responsible. And, you know, the natal Mars, you know, which rules your chart because you're Scorpio rising, the natal Mars is getting, you know, a closing square. Go back 22 years, you know, the dream of leaving and traveling and then the node of fate on there. So the eclipses this year are really activating your chart. And you've already been feeling the energy because there were eclipses in Cancer, Capricorn. So the nodes are going through your ninth house, and they're in your south. So is it possible to take – and then, of course, Jupiter's on your Neptune saying to you, time for a new dream, time for a new dream. He's going to be on that through the middle of August, and he stations on your Neptune. So what you're really jonesing for, it looks like, is this new dream, and Saturn's saying – be responsible, but the part of you that's like, you know, I don't want to be responsible. I want to go, and then Uranus on your Mercury is very much inviting you to kind of just quit everything and run off, you know, follow your heart with the Moon Juno. So I'm a firm believer in people being able to take sabbaticals or take time off. And depending on where you work, you know, there is the Family Leave Act where you can take family leave, you know, so you can do that and travel.
Yeah.
With the midheaven, you know, just entering a new sign, it's in Libra. So the Venus is really under very much, they're both your Mars and Venus are under enormous developmental tension. And it's kind of like, I need to run away and join the circus. Now, sometimes, obviously, you can't do that, you know, responsibilities, kids, stuff like that. but it also is with Uranus on your Mercury, it does have that sense of if I don't get out of Dodge, I'm going to blow up. And so I always like, well, okay, is it possible to take a month off? Is it possible to, you know, do something where you allow yourself that space? Because what the travel will do is kind of reset you. And your Saturn, interestingly, is in the ninth house of foreign travel. So with Saturn now forming what's called an inconjunct your natal Saturn, your natal Saturn is really feeling like I'm not expressing myself creatively. Even if I do have a good job and I like what I do and all that, I'm just feeling this need to change it up. So possible to take a vacation, possible to get out there, you know, find a conference you can go to and, you know, get your boss to pay for it, that kind of thing, you know, like really just research and say to the universe, I'd really like to get to Europe. I'd like to get to Italy. You're feeling the call, and it's very strong. And, you know, the eclipses are coming onto your sun and your moon on July 3rd, and then they're hitting your stuff again on your nodes. They're squaring your nodes. So it's like you're at a crossroads, and travel really does make you feel reset. It makes your chart feel reset.
Yeah, you have a grand trine going into that Saturn in the house of career. If your career isn't about the international community or the work, then you need to make some adjustments so that it is. And whether you go back, you know, I just see that there's such tension in your chart between that willful, like permanent inner adolescent, I want what I want when I want it, and the other part that wants security. And you have to find, how can I put these together? How can I want dynamic security? How can I create security out of my wanderlust? And it's going to take some creative thinking to invent your path, but you can do it.
Yeah, okay. You're really at a great time to put it down. Yeah, put down the next chapter. So go for it, Dandelion. Go have a good time. Take a month and go to Italy for the summer.
So the next question, we'll say goodbye, and
bye.
I'm on to the email. And the birth date, the birth information is 2/20/1996.
2/20/1996.
2/20/1996 at 3:44 a.m. in San Francisco. Now, this is a girl that her mother wrote in saying, my daughter has graduated a year ago, and she's been looking for permanent work, but nothing's happening. So she quit a job at the gym on the advice from recruiters so they could place her somewhere with a decent desk job, but she's hardly getting any work, and she's frustrated. For the last 9 months, she's capable, driven, and just doesn't have experience. And so, 2/20/1996, she's a Pisces Sun, Pisces Mars, Sun Mars conjunction, which is kind of almost an oxymoron within Pisces, and a Moon Saturn conjunction in Pisces. I mean, she is hardworking, but she's also sensitive, and she has Jupiter in Capricorn near the ascendant, so she probably makes a really good first impression. But it's just getting, you know, I don't know if she's really looked for the kind of job that infuses her personality, that she's charming, she's thoughtful, she's sensitive, and she is driven. But it has to be people-oriented, or I don't think it's going to use her skills to the best degree. What do you see, Anne?
Well, I think, yeah, I would agree with you on all that. And I think, you know, it's hard for the kids that are getting out of school now because they're trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up, or they have an idea of what they want to be when they grow up, and then how do I get that door opened? So we're looking at her Saturn in the first, which is really, I always call it the cheese stands alone transit, where you're kind of really feeling like, you know, I'm by myself. And on top of that, her progressed moon is at 22 cap, really getting a hammer by Pluto
right now.
Right
on Pluto right now.
So Pluto looks at her peer group or her, you know, her coworkers or her cohorts and kind of says, wow, they all seem to be moving, or I'm ambitious and I'm not getting anything. Now, the eclipses are this next up. So they're going to be on her Jupiter, which is the new moon on the 3rd of July. And then there's going to be a moon on the second eclipse on the 16th of July is on her progressed moon as well as Pluto. And right next to her progressed ascendant. So One, I think that's really positive. She's also got Uranus in Taurus coming to square her Mercury. So the frustration's going to lift and shift. And she's a Venus in Aries, so she's not necessarily a patient person in the sense of, you know, she wants it and she wants it now. So that the good news is it's about to shift, and it looks like it shifts this next July. The other thing is, you know, because she's a Pisces and the Capricorn, there's an interesting mix in her chart about her connection and relationships. So she needs a job there. She gets to run around a lot. And while I know she quit her job working at the gym, that actually was a good side job for her because it gave her structure. And you have, she has the kind of chart that needs to work, meaning even if she's just doing volunteer. Yeah, even if she's just doing volunteer work or walking dogs, she needs to have something to do. If she doesn't have something to do, she gets very unstructured and depressed. So maybe, you know, if she quit in good terms with them, you know, go back and say, can I teach a class or two? Or, you know, something where she gets some external structure. She also has a very good chart for doing her own thing. So, like, you know, announcing to different people, okay, I'm good at organizing, or I'm good at social media, or I'm good at whatever, where she kind of drives her own ship until she finds something from the headhunters. And then thirdly, there's a great book, which I always recommend to people, What Color Is Your Parachute?, which gets you kind of thinking about what you want. But I don't think it's bad in the sense of, I do think she's got a lot of stuff coming in July. I think that's the part, and it also needs to be something where she feels that she's creatively pushed. So I'm not worried about it. I think
I'm not worried about her either.
Taking a while to find it. Yeah.
And I wonder if that this time loose is helping her clarify what she really wants to do, and she may end up going back to school for a next degree on this. I'm looking at the astrocartography map for her, and I don't know if she's still in the Bay Area, but it looks like there's not much going on for her in the Bay Area. I would send her south, you know, within 100 miles of L.A. or south, and put her on her Jupiter on the ascendant line, or put her in, you know, Chicago or Austin, that line. She's got Mercury on the ascendant there, but that's, she doesn't have a great Mercury. But it could do that. Or around New England, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, because she's on her Sun on the ascendant and Mars on the ascendant lines there. So, you know, it may be also to look farther afield than she is if she's still living in the Bay Area. Possibilities for that.
Yeah. She's not really, I don't know that she's going to want to move, but.
Right.
And why don't you like her Mercury?
Well, if her, I mean, it's not that I don't like her Mercury. With her Mercury's in Aquarius, it's fine, actually. I would, you know, Chicago and Texas could be just fine for her.
Yeah, because her Mercury's getting aspected right now because Uranus is squaring it, which
and
I think
she was born with it just
something.
After them being conjunct.
Yeah.
She's
got
a really good mind, and she's a good problem solver. So I'd say that, you know, that it may be hard for her to know what she wants automatically, but you put her in a group, and she can find her place in that group pretty quickly, and she can problem solve things that you give her to solve.
And I do think the eclipse is bringing the work, too, so I would not worry about it, because the node of fate is going to – it's in the seventh right now, which is pulling in connections. But it goes into the workhouse pretty shortly thereafter. So I think this is a, you know, and it is hard because a lot of people I know with kids her age are kind of trying to figure out how they get in and get that. But once she gets in, it's going to be great. So it's really a matter of, you know, when she goes on the interview, saying to them, well, when they say, well, you don't have any experience, say, well, you know, if you hire me, I'll have it. And I'm willing to work really hard to prove I can do it even though I don't have any. You know, so that's the other part, because she does interview well. So that's the other piece of it. So it's really just her maybe being a little more pushy than she's comfortable being. And also asking them, I always find this a good question to ask, well, what are you looking for in a candidate? What don't you like in a person who works for you? And then you get to hear what they do and don't like. And a lot of times managers are not asked that question. And they go, oh, that's pretty interesting. She wants to know what I like, huh? Rather than how she fits the job. So it's, you know, because we're going to be working together, kind of, obviously. So, but
so
I wouldn't worry about it. I think there's new stuff coming. especially
Wonderful.
With the eclipse on her moon. So, yeah.
We wish everybody well.
Yes.
It looks like our time is up.
The British lady didn't come back for that either. Wow, man.
Wow, she
right.
is having a rough day.
She's having a vacation.
And I don't know if you can all hear, but we have the Blog Talk Radio has this British voice that comes in and gives us instructions. So let us know
so
when
take
we're
care,
on
everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Take care. Bye.